that our planet is paradise. It's just us humans, we don't see it. We're asleep, or we have this filter in our eyes that we don't even see how.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the You Versus You podcast, where I talk with members of the Council for Human Development about how we can expand our minds and recode reality. Today I'm here with Stefan and Andre, two trainers from the Council, and we're going to talk about their changes in their perspectives and realizations since they joined the program. So, Stefan, can you first introduce yourself and tell us what the driver behind joining the program was for you?
Sure. I guess first, thanks for having us and took your time to make this interview possible. And it's been a nice journey so far. I can say that I'm the one who is in the council. I was there from the beginning, and I met Kern, when was it, a long time ago, maybe, I think it was in August 2018. It was a hot summer day, and I was looking for something new, because I had this moment in my life where I asked myself if that was it, and then there was this specific moment where I said to myself, I have to change something. I was stuck. I was teaching, and but I knew there was more than that. And then I was looking for something. I didn't know what it was. Obviously, I was looking it for my whole life. That was I don't know. Yeah, I couldn't name it at that time. But then I started looking, and it took a bit of time. And around 2 years later, I found Kern. So I was on this meetup, and he was talking somewhere in Zurich in a hotel. And all of a sudden, when I was listening to him, I knew that that was it. That was that kind of mentality, that kind of thing that I was looking for. And then after he finished his talk or his presentation, I stepped to him and I was asking him some questions, and that was the start of the council, yeah, about two, maybe a bit more than 2.5 years ago.
Wow, that sounds super interesting. So what was the title of the talk back then?
The title of the talk, I can't remember exactly, but he was talking about something about the dooms clock, or like it's we are close to very close to big problems and big issues, and it was all about now it's time, the time to make something, because the world is going crazy, and now we see it. At that time, 2.5 years ago, we couldn't see it, but now with COVID and all the things that are coming or just in prepare somewhere in the back, now we know it. And at that time, most of the people in the room, they didn't realize what he was talking about. But I already knew it, and I resonated with it, and I found something I was looking for.
And Andre, could you tell us a little bit about your background story and how you actually decided to join the Council for Human Development?
Yes, thanks. As he said, he's the first one who joined the council. I'm the last one so far. So this is why I'm about to become a trainer. I'm his trainee. He's my trainer. My background, I always followed my nose all my life. Like I walked my own path, kind of the road less traveled. I always had my own opinions about things. I love to discuss. I do discuss a lot, mostly so far to defend my point of view. And until I met these guys, which is for me one of the most beautiful things, instead of defending my point, we agree this is the base, and from here we can grow. And I think from the very first moment when I came in contact with the council, it really resonated with me. I mean, my brain, not so much. I had a lot of suspicions or just things that, I don't know, my brain was telling me, don't do this, but I just, in my core, I always knew this is what I've been looking for all the time. And ever since, I don't regret.
Okay, that's super cool to hear. And what's like your background in general? So what sector were you working in before?
See, that's the thing. I always did my own things. Like I mean, my background, I did an education, but I, as soon as the education was done, I was also done with it. And I started something new. And, I mean, I'm a plumber, I worked in roofing. Then I started as a snowboard teacher. I came to Norway and was a ref guide. I worked in a slaughterhouse. I built a log house in Canada. I lived on a sailboat and learned how to weld. And yeah, always, I'm always driven to do new things, or that's always what kept me going. And in the end, eventually I came back to my home, Switzerland, and I used my skills. Like I specialized myself in renovating old houses because all my skills I could use there. And I did that for a while, but then eventually I mastered it. I did nice projects and I was looking for new things.
Sounds like you really tried out a lot of different things. So
I don't think I even mentioned everything, but
So what were the areas of your life that you were kind of most struggling with and frustrated about when you were at that point of joining the program? So what did you really want to solve or change as well personally?
Like basically society. I mean, I always knew it's I wanted to help to change, or I always had visions of a better world. Or in the beginning, maybe I saw that a lot of things aren't working right. Or also when I dreamed for myself, I had this vision that we live, paradise is here, paradise is not somewhere else, but we don't see it. We don't even make the smallest amount possible of what we actually could. And I always hoped and wished I could do my part into a better future for the world. I always knew that, I mean, I thought about it going into politics. Quite soon I realized, no, this is not how you bring change. It would maybe only frustrate me more. Yeah, maybe this is one of the things that resonated the most with me, with the council, because we all believe in a different way, in human potential, whatever that may be. And so beautiful. I mean, if we just start changing something or things, but what could all happen out of this? And like, I have a son, if he could grow up in a world where we're not so bound by all these limitations. Like I say, before I only discussed or defended my point, and now I'm here on a base and from here I can grow. And if this already happens to a newborn kid, can't even dream about this future.
And you said that you want paradise to be here now, right? So what's, in your opinion, the thing that's really missing to make that happen and to have paradise here?
That's difficult. I mean, if I could give a really clear answer, we probably would already have it. But I mean, for one, if you see these pictures from out of space and look at our planet, I mean, in my mind, this is paradise, or this wonderful, beautiful green and blue and colorful ball. With great speed, we fly through space and turn around. It's already a big part. It's already, it should be a blast to be on this thing. But if you come closer, if you see all that's going on, I mean, for myself, I think in my life, I came really close to paradise. I mean, I sailed the oceans, went to beautiful islands, I surfed waves, I ride snow. in mountains. The our planet is paradise. It's just us humans, we don't see it. We're asleep, or we have this filter in our eyes that we don't even see how beautiful our whole life is. The gift we have, I think all it takes for us is to wake up to what's already here, because there is abundance in everything on this planet. It's divided wrong, or it's just some, how can I say, the system is rotten to the core, and that prevents us from living in paradise. I think that's really all.
And Stefan, what's like your perspective on this, and what really pushed you to join the program as well? Like, what's the area of your life that you wanted to change, or in general, what you wanted to change potentially about society?
Especially the community part. That was most important for me, because I also did a lot of jobs in my past, tried out a lot of things. And everywhere I was, I didn't feel like I belonged there. I was just doing it, and I didn't fulfill me at all. And that's why I changed a lot of jobs. And so after that, I was just looking for something very special for like-minded people. They understand me. They have the same level as I am. And that's why I was looking for, and I found them. I'm really blessed to find those kind of people. But I don't say like it's like now it's everything is very nice and everything will be good. But it's nice to be here now, sitting with Andre here, talking with you, and found those people, those few people at the moment. And it's really a blessing, and I'm really kind of happy to be on this journey with all those guys to make it together, and to collaborate together, and to make things out, and to find a way to make the world a better place. Because I also have, like as Andre have, I also have a daughter, quite young, and I also wanna do something. If it's only little, but I wanna do something, and I wanna give her a better life, if only a little bit a better world. That's what motivates me the most.
How is it for you now, generally speaking? Because you had the feeling that something was missing for you. You couldn't really find the thing. So what is so different now based on your feelings? Like what's really motivating you now?
It's like they understand me. We understand each other. It's not a pressure. I mean, the system we're working in, or like the community we're working in, it's not like an enterprise or like a firm, strict rules and all that stuff that makes you kind of dissatisfied. And it's like there's no boss as well. So like we are all leaders. We are all like we can talk. We can speak up if we have something to say. And I really appreciate that. So like it's equal, you know, it's like you're working on an equal basis, and that's what that you feel that. And we appreciate each other. We want to learn from each other. We listen to each other. And that's what I was looking for. And because I would say like you can't find that kind of groove at all, maybe some places, hopefully, but we have it, and I really appreciate that.
And we have a lot of fun.
That's as well.
Even serious with serious topics, we can laugh and joke about stuff.
It also has a space for fun as well. Yeah. So don't take everything too serious, and it's also a space for that, yeah, for sure.
So I'm curious, you mentioned that you're both trainer and trainee, right? So what was it like in the beginning when you started your relationship, and like what were your coaching challenges, so to speak?
How do we start? I mean, okay, from my side, Andre, he was like, he came like to me, literally. And okay, honestly, I have to say, like, I wasn't ready. But that's always the thing. Like you say to yourself, I'm not ready. I need this and this certificate. I need some more month or years to learn to be ready for something. But I'm at that time when Kern told me, like, now you have to coach someone because you want to start. And I told myself, and I knew that I'm ready. So I didn't hesitate at all. I said to myself, yes. Even I knew that, okay, I'm not ready in my head, but that's another story. But it was in general a nice experience to work with Andre. I train him, but he also trains me. We train each other, and it's not like I'm like the boss or like the coach. Okay, I train him. I give the topics, I start, and I lead, and but also like there's a lot coming from him. And the interesting thing is that together we found out a lot of things. Like we had a lot of insights together. We only were it only was possible to find together. And we had a few moments when we came together, when we said, or we looked into each other's eyes, and we said like, oh, that's cool. That's really a real insight. Okay, we knew it already, but like it was like kind of a reminder. And these are the nice moments. And also, you know, when we go home, I feel very comfortable and fulfilled. And it's a very nice atmosphere when we come together. We appreciate each other. We also kind of similar, same age. We have a kid, and it's also taste of music, and it also helps a bit or helps a lot. But also like it's hard work. It's for several hours you are together and you have to listen to each other, but it's very nice. You don't get tired at all, and that's a nice thing on train someone.
Can you share a little bit about one of these moments where you had an insight together, Andre?
One that really hit me, or I assume that he's talking about because it hit us both, is family dynamics. I discovered for myself through him that since I have a sister, I was the firstborn, that I felt kind of, when my sister was born, that I kind of felt disturbed in my piece of my little group. Like we had that together with the council, you know, we're a group. And I feel really comfortable within this group. I had that in many situations in my life. I meet people, I'm really open, I'm easy to meet people, but I also feel very quick comfortable within a group, but then I want this group to stay. If then someone new comes, it's like, for me, this is really disturbing the peace now. And we made the connection that this comes from my childhood when I was first in this world with my parents alone. And then suddenly my sister comes and disturbs that peace, literally. But of course, as it always is, the more the merrier. But still that little program is in me.
So were you able to change that now somehow? Or where did you also discover that in your life, in what other areas potentially?
Yeah, as I say, like I discovered this in many ways. As soon as I'm with it, like I have this this group of friends where we play soccer together. I'm really comfortable with these people, and every now and then someone new comes to the club, and I will always first like, it's just my natural reaction. Even though I love to meet new people, but if it's in a group, I get bugged by it. And I mean, it's not that since I discovered this, it's just gone out of my life. But I understand the dynamics behind myself. I recognize as soon as I'm there, I tell myself, hey, come on, you're not a little boy anymore. You've grown up, and your experience actually is that each person more adds joy to my life. It's a new friend. It's new opportunities. It just makes my life better, and it's a good thing to add people to my universe. So in this way, I didn't change my immediate reaction so far, but since now that I understand it, I can make it go away and turn it into something positive.
Mm-hmm. And Stefan, when you were on the program, or maybe also just you know, during the last month since you became a trainer, what were the realizations that you had about your own behavior that wasn't serving you?
I told Andre before that, you know, it's not like something spectacular, like the inside. So like how you react, it's just most of the time, there are the little things like special situations in which you don't know what to do, whatever it is, like private or like job-wise. And but you just take some time and you try to think the solution or what you can do. And there were a couple of moments in the last few months that I felt like, okay, now I'm more aware of the situation. I know that I just should stop and think about it and see the whole like in a holistic way, and not like very like in a little space. Like there's more around you, the more dynamics, not just you, all the people around you, and like the whole society, everything plays a role. And these are the little realizations that you're learning something, that you're more as I said, more aware of something, on special situations. That's what I've learned.
And what's like the biggest change that you experienced so far?
Biggest change is that you're able to do something or do whatever you want. That you are, there's no limitation. There's so much potential in you. And for example, like to train Andre is like
getting more gray hairs.
Maybe that as well. Yeah. So. The biggest thing is really that you can do it. Just don't hesitate, just make the decisions, make the choice, and just do it, because there's no time to think about too much on all the things. When you feel that it's right, when you feel the moment is right, then just do it and do the good things, but don't expect the big changes. Just do it in little steps, like it's Japanese technique, like with this technique with little steps, you get forward. And that's like a realization. Do it, but in little steps, and don't like expect any wonders instantly.
Okay. And what's your perspective on that, Andre?
Certainly baby steps, one step at a time. But it happens a lot for me in this program, actually. We talked about this before as well. It's small little pushes from every side. Like that's the other thing. Like it's us, the trainer-trainee relationship, but it's also the whole group, the whole community. We come together quite frequent, or we have Zoom talks, and we all help each other. And from each one, you get little hints and get little pushes in the right direction, which actually in the end have quite a big impact on me. It's like I've been waiting for this little hint, and it opens a whole new door somehow. But in the end, it is small steps, and of course sometimes you take a bit the leap forward and then you do small steps back again, but you find your ground, you're more settled within yourself or who you are.
And when we also talk about the group setting, as you're part of a collective, what type of challenges come also with it in discussions as well?
As everywhere. And you're right. There are always challenges. That's the right word. There are challenges, of course. As soon as several people are gathering and working together, there are challenges to overcome. And for me, it's all about communication. Yeah, that you speak clearly, and you let the people know what you think. And it's all about the communication. That's the most important thing. Is everywhere, and where I'm or where I was working, or may also you know it. And I think it's everywhere. It's the same. It's all about how to communicate, let the people know, and be clear and be open for someone who has to say something to you. Yeah, communication.
Yeah. For me, it's surprisingly little challenges so far. I mean, I've only like 3 months in the program and with the group, or maybe a little more. And in my head, I was fearing more challenges. I thought, you know, as well, how we talk, you know, it's an us mentality and there is not really a leader. I thought, yeah, come on, guys, just you can fool someone else. It's like, of course, this is group dynamics and everyone wants to be the best. And yeah, these typical group dynamics. But I find this really, it works actually. And also in the sense that we don't, I mean, yeah, we joke around with each other. We more tease each other, but nobody puts the other one really on a spot. And if someone gets put on a spot, it's because they actually want to show him something or also help you further on. And it's not that you get laughed at or so, you get helped and you really get, or I feel really the strong support from the others for me as well to grow. And these small little pushes, as I said before, into the right direction. And of course, there is a group dynamics also. If someone is down, it affects all of us. But so far, it's always been, it's the positive energy is far, far bigger than the negative energy. That's really more, if I'm down, I know I have like 10, 12 people I can talk to who probably really quick can give me an insight to turn this around.
That's definitely a really nice benefit. If you want to find out more, make sure to check out councilforhumandevelopment.org and please share the podcast with your friends on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter with the hashtag Council for Human Development.